today, okay? All right, we continue in our series on the home, our basic Bible doctrines series, and we've considered several different basic Bible doctrines so far, and we're in series on the home now, and we're speaking on the husband's duty to his wife and to his family, and we will get to a wife and her duty and to children as well. But last week, we began talking about what is a husband's duty to his family, and if a man will be faithful in what the Lord wants him to be, the chances of successful living and a godly home life increase dramatically. He is the key, the linchpin, to having success in the home and in the family, and the Lord holds a man responsible. And so what is a husband's duty to his wife? Well, last week we talked about how a husband must assert responsible leadership in the home. And what we meant by that was that a husband must wisely and lovingly fulfill his God-given role as the head of his household. We talked about how that headship, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, the husband is the head of the wife. We talked about how that headship refers to delegated functional authority. It does not talk about superiority in any way. But out of necessity, there needs to be a leader. And we looked at Ephesians 5:23, which says the husband is the head of the wife. And so, like it or not, a husband is to be the leader. That's the way God intends it. And a husband then, if that's the case, must exercise his God-given authority in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. We also talked about how the headship of man places a very heavy weight of responsibility upon the husband for leadership. Leadership in all kinds of areas. Leadership in decision-making. The role of decision-making carries a heavy responsibility. It can be demanding. It can be emotionally draining. It can be full of stress, yes, but a husband must accept his obligation. And then if things go wrong, he needs to accept responsibility as well. Don't leave your wife to bear those burdens. She was not created and made for that. And we also talked about how that heavy responsibility for leadership also involves meeting your wife's needs. We looked at 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Says, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And we talked about how that's not something that means inferior. It simply means that it's something that is delicate, but something of great, great value. And so we have a responsibility as men, as husbands, to meet those physical, emotional, spiritual needs of our wives. And we discussed how if we will fulfill that responsibility of meeting our wife's needs, it's going to help her gain trust and security, and she will be content, and she will be happy. She will be fulfilled, and that's all part of exercising our God-given responsibility of leadership. Today, we're going to look at a second duty that a husband has towards his wife, and that is this, that he must manifest selfless love. So not only is he to assert responsible leadership, but secondly, to manifest selfless love. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we look at verse 25. The command of Scripture is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In order to be the husband that God intends us to be, we must be a loving leader. Manifest selfless love. According to this verse here, the love of a husband for his wife is to be modeled after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. And this is the same exact chapter that also says a husband is the head of the wife. Same context, giving that leadership, giving that authority, but in the same context then, he said the Bible says to love your wife as Christ loved his church. And when a husband loves his wife as Christ loves his church, and he must, because he's commanded to, husbands, love your wives. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Amen? Are you with me? Are you awake? Are we here? All right, so the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives. This is a command. We must. If we do not, then we are in disobedience to the Lord. Amen? Are you here? Right? So, if a husband loves his wife as Christ loves his church, guess what? There's not going to be any problems in her recognizing and submitting to his leadership in the home. This is the way God intends it. This is the way God made us. If we do our job according to the Word of God and patterned after the love of the Lord himself, there's not going to be any problems with her recognizing and submitting to his leadership in the home. In fact, here's the kicker. It might seem like an oxymoron, but it's true. It is very, very true in personal, practical experience. In response to Christ-like love, a wife will want to accept her husband's authority because that is how she's made. And so the pattern here after the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the key. And Ephesians 5, verse 25, balances out this situation here. Because verse 23, look at it with me there. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the wife. Some man might be like, see, I'm wearing this as a badge. I'm the head of this family. I'm the ruler. I'm the king. You submit. But see, verse 25 balances all of that out. Because verse 25 says, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. And we have Christ as the example, as the pattern. So that leadership then that we've been given needs to be exercised in love. Well, how do we know what kind of love Christ has? Look in Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans 5. In verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How is it that we know God's love in that he died for us? That's love at its very highest. When we were enemies to God, he still died for us, demonstrating his love. That's love at the very highest. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of Christ for his church is the pattern that the husband is to follow in loving his wife. So, in manifesting selfless love, first of all, number one, a husband's love is to be a sacrificial love. Okay? Get the eyes open, got the thinking caps on. As Christ loved his church and gave himself for it, a husband's love is to be a sacrificial love. The love of Christ for his church involved even laying down his life. And when a man loves his wife like that, even enough to die for her if necessary, she's going to find it easy to accept his God-given leadership. But here's the thing. Most of the sacrifices husbands are called upon to make are not that extreme, as in actually laying down your physical life. Usually, those sacrifices are much less demanding, but oh so vital to that marriage relationship. For example, you know, giving up an occasional football game to help your wife with some shopping. I know. It's really not that much of a sacrifice. Doing a project that she desires, and I struggle with this one, I'm not going to lie. is not really that much of a sacrifice. In fact, let me share this little bit of a story with you. It tells you how pathetic I am sometimes. Just last night, we had just gotten back, I think it was might at 8:30 or something, from our camping trip, and I was exhausted. I still had some studying to do for today. And my wife, in her desire to have things ready for today, for the shower and or the reception and all that, she says, do you have time to take a look at that mosquito magnet? Because there's a mosquito magnet that's supposed to be set up to try to keep the mosquitoes away from you so that you can be comfortable, you know, during this reception. And I'm like, are you kidding? I am so tired. I am exhausted. I have to go study still. I didn't say it all like this to her, but this is what I'm thinking in my mind. It's frantic in my mind. How could you even ask me this question? I said, no way. I am exhausted. I still have to go study. I have all this to do. She didn't say a word. Well, I went to take a shower, and I was, you know, busy with all that, and I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? It's not really that big of a deal. I have to go to my office anyway to go study. I can just take a look at it, get it set up, probably, although I'm not sure, and I can just do it on my way over. And so I got all ready to go, and I'm come walking over to my office, and here my wife is outside with this mosquito magnet in her hand looking how to set this up, and I was like, I am such a heel, right? So I went over, and I just took over, and I was like, I'll do it. I'll take care of it, honey. And we ended up actually sort of doing it together. But the fact that I reacted that way initially, when all she was doing was asking me to help her on something simple, is the flesh. That's our fleshly tendency to want to take care of ourselves as men, but not to necessarily want to sacrifice to meet the needs of our wife. But I'm saying the sacrifices that we're called on to make are really not that big of a deal in reality. Yeah, the shopping, I know. That's a big deal. Sometimes, here's the point though, sometimes things might be a bit of a sacrifice, but if we really think about it, it's not really that much. In fact, compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, I'm almost embarrassed to call anything that we might do or not do a sacrifice. It's not a real sacrifice, really, to miss a football game or to miss a fishing or hunting adventure to help meet the need of your wife. It's not really a sacrifice. Honestly, it's actually a privilege to be able to help your wife through a lonely time or some emotional crisis, something that's going on that's a burden to her in her life. In fact, listen, hours if necessary to help her walk through and to come out on the other side secure and confident in your love and in your leadership. This is what is expected. In fact, this is what is commanded of a godly husband. And let's just put it bluntly here, guys. If you're not willing to deny yourself anything for that person that God has given you to share your life with, then you are failing at your job at being the kind of husband God expects you to be. Because Jesus Christ's love was a sacrificial love. Amen? Thank you, Mrs. Adams. I believe it. I hear it. Secondly, not only is a husband's love to be sacrificial, but a husband should, secondly, be motivated by a desire to elevate her overall well-being. In other words, we need to work at making her life better. Amen? She's not there to serve you. She's there as a companion, as a helpmeet. But it's not her job to be your servant, and she's not your doormat. In fact, as a loving husband, patterned after Christ, who wants to present to himself a spotless bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Listen, the desire of the husband ought to be to work to make her life better. Wow. Quiet in here. This applies physically, it applies emotionally, and spiritually. And if your life and the way that you treat your wife, man, is dragging her down, this is no love at all. In fact, it's selfishness. And selfishness is often the culprit for problems in a marriage. See, we love ourselves. Ephesians 5 makes that very clear, that we ought to love our wife as we love our own body. We love ourselves, and we want to make our own lives better, but sometimes to the detriment of our wife. How terrible if it could be said of any one of us that your wife would be better off if she had never married you. Sometimes it's shocking to me, but I can imagine how even more shocking it is for some husbands. I mean, I've heard of this before. Husbands who are just shocked when their wife leaves them after 20 or 30 years of marriage. They're shocked. What in the world? She left for no reason. No, there were some reasons, guaranteed. They feel they've provided everything their wives could have possibly needed. Well, she had a nice home, and she had a nice car, and she had enough money, and we had vacations, and we had all of these things. And she left for no reason. Wrong. None of those things are enough. Why? Because a wife needs much more than just things. She needs you. She needs your time. She needs you to make her life better. And a husband can communicate non-verbally that other people or other things or other activities are more important to him than his wife. You've heard of the hunting widow or the fishing widow. A husband can easily communicate non-verbally that other things are more important to him than her. Your wife and marital happiness is going to suffer if most of your time and your efforts are directed to other things and there's only cold leftovers for her. How awful. How terrible. Certainly not a picture of how Jesus Christ loves his church and gave himself for it. That kind of a thing can be devastating to a woman's personal worth and her security. A husband ought to have a desire to improve and make his wife's life better. Let me read for you an excerpt from a book. The title of the book is If Only He Knew, and a pastor relayed this story that graphically illustrates this principle that we're talking about here. He said, I arrived home for lunch to find my wife standing quietly at the kitchen sink, not even interested in talking when I tried to make conversation. And in a moment of insight, I perceived that I was in hot water. I remembered her coolness toward me during the previous few days, which I had mistakenly attributed to some sort of, quote, hormonal change. I said, is there anything wrong between us? She said, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't understand anyway. Funny thing, I'm losing my desire to go back to work right now. I can see there are some real problems here. Wouldn't you like to talk about it? I said. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Even if I told you, either you wouldn't understand or you wouldn't change. So what's the use? Let's don't talk about it. It's too painful. It discourages me and disappoints me when you say you're going to do something and then you don't. But I gently resisted, telling her that I wish she would share it with me, that I just didn't understand. Finally, she was able to verbalize what actions during the past 5 years had driven a wedge between us and were causing me to violate an important biblical principle. She said, "You'd rather be at work or with your friends or counseling people than spending time with me," she said. I asked her to explain. If someone calls you when we have plans, you're liable to say, "Well, let me check with my wife and see if I can postpone our plans." I just can't believe that you would do that to me over and over and over again. I explained how it was easier for me to turn her down than to say no to other people. "What about when I cook a special dinner? Sometimes even with candlelight, you'll come home or call and say you've had to make other plans. You go off somewhere with other people as if I didn't even exist, as if it didn't even matter or mean anything to you that I've gone to this extra special effort for you." She continued, "I just don't care anymore. I don't even want to do these special things for you. I've been disappointed so many times that I just can't handle it emotionally." She made me realize that although I always had time for someone in need of counseling, I made little effort to spend meaningful time with her. When I did spend time with her, she said, I didn't have the same concentration or excitement about being with her. I listened as she revealed her innermost feelings for several hours. I really didn't know what to do, and I wasn't sure I'd be able to change. But I could understand her complaints. I had neglected her and offended her with my unloving ways. However, when I agreed with her, she was unresponsive, and I could tell she was no longer expecting anything from our relationship. She helped me discover that I was ignoring the biblical principles found in 1 Peter 3:7, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And since then, I've come to realize that that is the cornerstone of all relationships. To honor basically means to attach high value and worth or importance to a person or thing. My wife felt less important than my vocation and activities. And without realizing it, I was not honoring her as the most important person in my life, second only to my relationship with Christ. This is a good illustration of how easy it is for us to be selfish. We love ourselves. We want to make our own lives better, but so often to the detriment of our spouse. And if we're going to love our wife as Christ loved the church, not only is it going to be sacrificial, but there's also going to be a desire to make it better. That's our job. To help and make her life better. Thirdly, and lastly, a godly husband then is to be deeply concerned for his wife's spiritual health. His love is to be sacrificial. His love is to be a desire to make her life better. Thirdly, his love is geared toward his wife's spiritual health. A godly husband will lead his wife by setting the tone and setting the example. He will encourage her to grow in the Lord, to use her talents for serving Christ. He will show her what it means to live by faith, to honor God, to have God first place in life, to live with the peace of God, and to live in a godly way in this present world. He will set that example for her if he's a godly husband. Your wife should never be more spiritual than you, man. Let's just stop and think about that for a second. It's a crying shame if a wife has more spiritual motivation than her husband. It's a terrible thing, and even an ungodly thing, if the wife is the motivator to get up and to be at church on time. That's your job. And not only should you set that example and take that lead for your wife, you, listen, I believe God holds you directly responsible for the spiritual health of your wife. Yeah, she's got her part, but God holds you responsible. A godly husband gives his wife all the spiritual encouragement and support that he possibly can. And it starts with his own life and taking the lead. And from there, encouraging her to grow, setting the example of growth, living by faith, walking with God, living with the peace of God, setting a godly example in the home. You ought to be the one who is the catalyst for spiritual conversation and activity in your home. And if your wife is more spiritual than you right now, be a man. Step up to the plate and change that. Amen? If you're married, the question is, are you the kind of husband God wants you to be? The kind He wants you to be is just like how Christ loved His church. That's how the kind that He wants you to be. And no doubt, there are some adjustments that will need to be made. It's true for all of us. We all constantly need to be adjusting and growing. But as we look to the Lord for His grace and with His help, those adjustments can be made, and that marriage can be all that God intends it to be, not only to bring glory to Him, but also to be a testimony to this world. Your relationship with your wife needs to involve responsible, godly leadership and selfless, Christ-like love. These are the duties and the responsibilities of a husband towards his wife. I'm not sure yet at this point, but there may be another message to come here on the responsibilities of a husband towards his wife and towards his family. It won't be next week. I'll be in Meadow Lakes. But Lord willing, the week after. If not, we'll continue on in this series with the wife's responsibility. But the challenge is, do you love your wife like Christ loved His church? Are you practicing godly leadership? Are you manifesting selfless, Christ-like love? Maybe you're not the one I should be asking. Maybe I should ask your wives, is your husband doing this? Maybe you should ask her. And if there are some things that need to be adjusted, why don't you have a humble heart and go talk to her and then ask the Lord to help you make those adjustments and those changes where it's necessary. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd strengthen our families and our homes. Lord, You know that I pray that very same thing for myself. Lord, by Your grace and Your enablement, we can become and be what You intend for us to be as husbands, and we can pattern our love for our wives and our families after Christ. Father, I pray that You'd help us to experience that blessing that comes as a result of being what we ought to be. I pray for these men, Lord, that You'd strengthen them, encourage them, challenge them, and grow them. That in turn, their families would benefit, this church would benefit, and God would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.